Just the Cats on Talk Radio 1080. Now here's every Wildcat's best friend, Michael Bennett, alongside Shannon the Duke.
Hello, Big Blue Nation. Welcome to Just the Cats, March 17th, 2021. I appreciate you joining us as Shannon the Dude is in Louisville, and I'm here. Hope everybody's having a great day on this St. Patrick's Day. Shannon, are you wearing green today?
I'm not, but I've had a great morning so far. I woke up to a nice surprise this morning. My package was stimulated.
$1,400,
oh, really? Yeah.
How much money did you get?
A lot.
Nice.
Yeah.
You just said it. Say it again. How much? You got $1,800. Is that right?
Yeah, $2,800. I got the special package.
Are you kidding me? Wow.
Yes, okay, kidding you. Nobody's getting a $2,800 package.
Oh, see, I had no idea. So I'm definitely not going to be getting one. But when you said that,
I know. Not all of us make the kind of money you make.
Oh, stop.
That's what it comes down to. No, it does. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I know it comes down to that. But no, it is a fun day. I mean, I like St. Patrick's Day. Believe it or not, Shannon, back in 1993, this is the day I got engaged to be married.
Oh, congratulations.
And, yeah, that was a bit of a spectacle that day.
Luckiest day of your life.
Yes.
Speaking of luck on St. Patrick's Day.
But I'll tell you this right now. It was a crazy day because Patricia, my wife, had won a trip down to St. Petersburg, of all places, St. Petersburg, Florida. And we go down there a few days early to stay at my mom and dad's place. And I had already bought the ring. And I put it in a bag, a carry-on, and we fly all the way down to Tampa. And I said, Patricia, please take care of this bag, and I'll get the rest of the bags, get the rental car, and boom, we'll be on our way. So we get all the bags. I said, did you get everything? She said, yes, I get everything. We take off, and of course, Tampa is across the bay.
Well, hold on a minute. Now, you gave her the bag with the ring in it to take care of?
I did. Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay.
And so we drive 40 minutes across the bay down to St. Petersburg to my parents' place, and I'm packing the car, and I said, Patricia, where's my bag? And I'm not kidding. I bought a kind of a nice ring.
Yeah. And
I'm looking around. She's looking around. She goes, I didn't put it in the car.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. So the engagement ring I had bought, and I spent a pretty penny on it, was not in there. So I drove frantically. She stayed there all the way back to the Tampa airport, and where we were putting the bags in, guess what? The bag was still sitting there.
So you had this very expensive ring that anybody could have gotten.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. I think that was a sign right there. I think I wouldn't have proposed after that. I said, this is a sign from God.
Well, to not propose? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, she left the bag there. You gave her one job, and she couldn't get the bag with the ring.
I gave her one job.
Yeah.
Exactly. So this is all her fault. There is no way today that bag would be still sitting there in that same place.
Probably not.
TSA would be all over the place. The state police would be there. City of Tampa would be there. So, just like, okay, we have a mysterious bag.
Okay, so what happened then?
Go ahead. So I drove back, and here's what else happened. They call it the no, and you can look it up. Back in 1993 on St. Patrick's Day, there was a storm that came through with hurricane force winds, rain, all kinds of stuff. It was called the No Name Storm. And I'm driving back over Tampa Bay, the bridge there is called Howard Franklin, and waves in Tampa Bay are coming over the bridge. Driving back there by myself. Get back. All the screens are knocked out. There's been like 5 tornadoes in the area. And so anyway.
So at the end of the day, you proposed to her during a tornado.
I didn't do it that day. I did it. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Through all the debris and glass and everything.
Yes. Yes. I said, here. She was doing the dishes, putting the dishes in the dishwasher. And I said, here. And she goes, what's this? And she opens it up, and there's the engagement ring. She goes, what does this mean?
Wait. You proposed to your wife while she was doing the dishes?
Yes. Yes, I did. Oh, that's my not gosh. The worst part. That's not the worst part. There is not a romantic bone in my body. Here's the worst part. She opens it up and says, "What does this mean?" I sit on a chair, and she reminds me of this verbatim. I said, "I don't feel so good."
What a Casanova you are.
Isn't that the truth? I don't have a romantic bone in my body.
I can tell.
And I did. She started opening her calendar book. What date should we do this? What date should we do this? And I'm like, oh, I don't feel good.
Oh, my gosh. I just want to recap what was happening here. Tornado comes. Yes. You got destruction everywhere.
Yes, that's correct.
You say, honey, go do the dishes. Get in the kitchen and do your job. And then as she's washing off the dishes, you go here and you hand her the ring.
Yes.
That has got to be.
I don't even say we.
That has got to be the most awkward proposal ever.
Yeah, the worst.
Yeah.
I know. People
And she still said yes. What's wrong with her?
People go to extremes to ask their wives or future wives to marry them. And this is how I did it at a dishwasher. And then I sit down and say, I don't feel so good. Yeah. I mean, there was nothing romantic about it. So, yeah. That's what St. Patrick's Day means to me. So I do my best to wear green and try to make up. But, yeah, you know, it's just not worked out.
Wow.
Whatever.
I hope you have to never go through this again.
Well, I'll look forward
next
to
time
the
you
day
propose,
to see
you'll
if
probably
you
just
can
take
top mine.
Next time you propose, you'll probably just take the ring and throw it at her. Here. What's this mean? I don't feel good.
I don't know. Just whatever you want it to mean is what it's going to mean. So
gosh.
Let's just move on from there. Yeah, I know.
I thought I was
that
bad.
It was a well-thought-out plan, okay? Let me just tell you right there. I mean, what is the worst? Listen, there was another buddy of
Why
mine.
Why didn't you just give it to her when she was out there mowing the lawn?
Well, I think one of the funniest stories, a really good friend of mine down in Nashville, Tennessee, wanted to play a joke on his wife. He bought this beautiful ring, and then he said, "Can I borrow the ugliest chip of a ring and give it to my wife as a joke?" And so he asked her and said, "Honey, I'm sorry. I know it's not a big ring, but I bought a shotgun today." And I thought that was great. And he said, "No, I'm kidding. Here's the real ring."
That is not the time to be joking with women.
Evidently not.
No,
and it's not the time to ask when they're doing the dishes.
No. So. What, let me ask you, what made you think, man, I just like the way she's rubbing down that dish. It's time to ask her to marry me. Be with me for the rest of my life. I mean, what made you think that while she was doing the dishes was the right time to ask her to marry you?
It was horrible. Listen, I have never asked anybody to marry me. I was so scared. I was literally sick to my stomach. I'm like, when's going to be the good time? I wanted to do it on St. Patrick's Day because it's a big deal to her.
Yeah.
And I thought, I don't know. I said, okay, let's just go ahead and get it over with. I mean, this is what's going through my mind because I'm nervous. I know she's going to say, at least I think she's going to say yes, but I'm still scared. I mean, it's
you couldn't at least wait for her to put up the last, you know, coffee mug or fork before you asked.
It was terrible, and I just did a horrible job. I mean,
I'll say.
I appreciate the guys that have really good thought process to say, okay, here's how I'm going to do it, and I just failed. I mean, it was the ultimate fail. So, all right. Welcome to St. Patrick's Day, Michael Bennett style. How do you like that? But we I didn't mean to talk about this the entire segment.
Well, you just did, because it's finished.
I did. I mean, yeah, it's all over. But if you want to give us a call, 502-571-1080, or you can tweet me at Just the Cat Radio. We got lots to talk about today, including I want us to go through Shannon, because we're starting to get some signals as to who is definitely staying going and who do we think's going to stay. Because now you got some other people that are starting to announce, and we're going to know, according to Cal, we're going to know the roster within the month. Which I was kind of surprised. It's like, wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That we'll know it.
Get a head start on next
season. We got
that.
Yeah. Yeah. Get ready for it. Exactly. They should just go ahead and say, listen, Kentucky, you had the worst season ever. Go ahead and start practicing. It's okay. But no, we got lots to talk about, including, what's Rick Pitino doing? I mean, we got to talk about some of the things he's saying. But anyway, we'll take a break. 502-571-1080. You want to give us a call? We'll be right back. This is Jessica Katz.
You're listening to Just the Cats on Talk Radio 1080.
502-571-1080. also because somebody says I didn't say it correctly before. But
I like when people call 502-571-TENNY. I mean,
it's not what I said.
If you can get through based on that that number, then more power to you. 502-571-TENNY. That's what you said last segment.
That's not what I said. 1080, okay? I love the fact that you tweeted out I woke up to a nice
Okay, no. You don't need to say it.
Yeah?
No, you don't. I already said it. You completely went over your head. Don't repeat it.
No.
Don't stop it.
You do have to repeat it.
No, I don't.
All right, then. At the bottom of the hour, I'm looking forward to this. We've got Jack Goose Givens coming on to talk about the Win or Else, the SEC storied documentary that they did, that he narrated. I thought he did a phenomenal job. So I didn't actually get to see it Monday night. I watched it last night. And I got to tell you, it brought back a lot of memories. I forgot about all these blazers they would wear, these plaid blazers that the players would be wearing coming off the jet. And here they would be in these. Well, you know, you look at them today and I think, oh my gosh, what country club are they going to? But it was kind of cool back in the day.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you like to come off with a Just the Cat blazer with me? I mean, that's what we should do when we do this wrestling thing.
We're going to rent a tour bus and get on it?
We're going to rent a tour bus. We're going to wear these jackets and come off the tour bus. The cameras are going to be right there as we're coming off the front steps of the tour bus. Yeah, it's all about, come on. Okay, forget it.
Yeah, now players look like they're going to the Pin 15 Club when they come in for a game.
Pin 15
They're
club.
Dressed up like that. Kind of like a lot of the guys were there that night.
Yeah, you got to have your beats on when you're coming off, and you got your duffel bag there.
Not when you play for Alabama football. Nick Saban doesn't put up with any of that, does he? You notice that?
No, he doesn't. Yeah, I did notice that. It's coat and ties. It's kind of old school.
Yeah.
That's what was required. What, back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, you would wear a suit and tie, and you would look appropriate, and this is the way we're going to be.
Yep.
You don't see that anymore.
Only,
I kind of miss those days.
Very few teams out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Am I stepping on you a little bit? Am I a little bit delayed?
I think you are. But it's okay, though.
Okay. We'll try and fix that at break. But anyway, let's go to the phone lines. 502-571-1080. Who's up first?
Jay,
what's going on?
So, Michael, I've got a story that's hopefully going to make you feel better about your proposal. So, we'll see.
Okay, I'm ready.
My father-in-law lives in California. So, I call him and I ask for his permission to, marry his daughter. And so we're going to drive down to Charleston, and I'm going to propose down there. It's going to be, a big, huge thing. It's going to be great. So we're driving
down.
Well,
first of all, you're talking Charleston, South Carolina, or Charleston, West Virginia?
Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay, good, because nothing says reeks more of not really romantic than Charleston, West Virginia. But go ahead.
Exactly right. So I would have killed for Charleston, West Virginia by the time we were done with this thing.
All right.
So we're driving down, and it's probably 10 p.m., and her dad calls. And I'm thinking, oh, this is weird. You know, he doesn't usually call me. So I'll pull over, go to this gas station, put him on speakerphone, see what he wants. So he says, hey, you called yesterday. And I said, yeah, uh-huh. And he says, are you going to propose to my daughter, this weekend while you're down there in Charleston while she's sitting right next to me and can hear the whole phone call?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And I'm thinking, I was thinking about it. Yeah, that would be a good idea, wouldn't it? And so we get off the phone, and she says, are you still going to do it? And I just kind of pull out the ring, and I'm like, yeah, you want to do this thing?
Here you go.
you want to do this thing.
Basically, her dad just proposed to her for you.
Yes.
Exactly
yes.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's so, almost as awkward as throwing your ring at your wife while she's washing the dishes.
All right, stop it. That's enough out of you. That's a great story right there.
Have a good one, guys.
All right, Jay.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, I didn't ask Patricia's dad. So,
you're not traditional then.
No.
You renegade.
Renegade. And listen, I am the biggest screw-up in the world because I totally forgot to. And, of course, when
you forgot to.
I totally forgot to. When we called her parents, Mr. Botticelli gets on there and says, Michael, I'm not sure if this is going to be legitimate or not, but didn't you forget to do something? And I'm like, oh, crap, I sure did.
What if he had said no?
Yeah, exactly. I would have said, you know, I don't blame you. I probably would say no to me, too. So,
that's a big decision he had to make when, he's going to bring Michael Bennett into the family.
Oh, yeah, it's a horrible decision.
I didn't say it was a horrible decision. I said it was a big decision.
I did. It's a horrible decision to let me into your family. So let me tell you, any future wives out there, if it ever happens, please say no to me. But let's go back to the phone lines, 502-571-1080. Who's up next?
Kentucky Joe.
Oh, Kentucky Joe.
Well,
what's going on,
Mr.
Joe?
Mr. Michael, happy St. Patty's Day. I am a 1/5 purebred Cocker Spaniel Irishman. And I just want to wish you a happy St. Patty's Day.
Well, I appreciate that. That's the one thing I cannot do. I cannot do voices. I tried to do voices,
I
can't do anything like that. I'm sure you can, Joe. But
maybe another
anyway,
day.
Yeah, another day. But anything else before we let you go, Joe?
I'm sorry.
No, but take your time, Joe. We're in no hurry.
Nicest host on the radio.
But I knew you'd say that.
Whenever you're ready, Joe.
I'm sharing. But the ESPN documentary was special.
Yeah, it was.
But they needed to talk about Jay Schotter, the blonde bomber. My gosh, he had all the girls chasing him there on the campus.
Yes.
There. But... Yeah. Kentucky should have won 77, and that dangerous bunch of Tar Heels actually held the ball for forever, and it actually allowed for the 42nd clock to take place.
Yeah,
I remember that game. I was at that game, believe it or not, when Kentucky lost to North Carolina.
You were just a youngster then.
I was a little kid. You're
Michael,
exactly correct.
Those the teams that ran the four corners offense?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it was not fun. I remember the game. And Joe, good to hear from you, my friend. Have a great St. Patrick's Day, okay?
All right, Joe, that's good. All right.
Cincinnati did it too. Up in Cincinnati at Riverfront Coliseum, Kentucky goes up there, and I think the score at halftime was like 6-2 or something like that. It was just.
I bet those games were so
exactly.
Can you imagine sitting there watching the team just hold the ball?
I mean, you watch Terry Bennett and his Virginia teams with their offense, how slow it is, how boring it is. And then on top of it all, you have Dean Smith and his Tar Heels come out and they play four corners. It's like, come on, man, don't you want to compete? Why do you just want to get the lead, hold the ball, and that's the end of the game?
Yeah, they should have just played 24-4. Would have been more exciting. You know, like you play in the backyard.
I've never played that before, by the way.
You don't know what it is?
No, I have no idea what it is. What's 24-4?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? I forgot. You grew up playing polo and cricket.
Here we go.
24-4 is when you play, your buddy in the backyard one-on-one, first to 24, but you get a win by 4 points.
Okay. I see what you're saying. We were always, it wasn't 24-4.
I'm sorry, not all of us had a running clock on the top of our goal in the backyard. We can play.
That is not what we had.
We can play 20-minute halves.
Why do you always say stuff like that?
If we wanted that in Bullitt County, we had to go get the kitchen timer and restart it every minute.
Yeah. She sounds like Eddie Murphy in Trading Places. Hey, when we ever wanted to make a jacuzzi, we had to fight. So, anyway, I love that movie. That's one of my all-time favorite movies, by the way. And, I watched Coming to America, a couple of weekends ago when it first released. And it was so cool. Have you seen it yet, by the way?
Still have not seen it.
Okay, well, go watch it. It's pretty good. But I love the subtle ways he made references to Trading Places. I mean, I thought it was pretty cool to see that. I like when movies do it.
Yeah.
All right, you're not saying anything, so forget it.
Well, it's time to go to break, so I was trying to get you to wrap things up here.
Okay, well, you weren't saying anything. You can say, hey, it's time to go to break. But, all right, when we come back,
Michael, it's time to go to break.
All right, fine.
Jack Gibbons.
Jack Gibbons. When we come back, I'm looking forward to it. This is Just a Cats.
You're listening to Just the Cats on Talk Radio 1080.
502-571-1080, like the guy just said. If you want to give us a call, you can tweet me at Just the Cat Radio. Bluegrass Jack said, the moral of that engagement story is that your wife is a real saint. Yes, you're absolutely correct. Daryl tweeted out, Michael Bennett, what's that?
Yes, she is.
Yeah. Daryl tweeted out, Michael Bennett, just wanted you and Shannon the Dude to know that I listened to yesterday's show three times.
Three times?
I'm a huge fan.
Hey, Daryl, seek help.
That's right. He does need immediate help, doesn't he? Bluegrass Jack said, is Terry Bennett related to Tony Bennett, or did UVA get a new coach? Did I say Terry Bennett?
But you may have.
Yeah. Listen, I'm so horrible with names. There are days I forget my own. But I don't remember this guy's name, that's for certain. One of my all-time favorites from University of Kentucky lore, Jack Goose Givens. Good to have you come on with us again.
Hey, thanks, Michael. Very nice to be on this morning.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's such an honor for you to be on the most ridiculous UK show there is. But let's talk about this for just a minute before we talk about the documentary, When or Else. But, you know, you just completed your first season as the pregame show with Buzz Baker, and congratulations on that. Are you the link and not me? Because Shannon's always teasing me, Michael, ever since we did this this commercial that we do for a company called Cornbread Hemp, UK started losing. Maybe it's because you took over for Rex Chapman.
Oh, come on.
You're not going to ask that question, are you?
Come on.
I don't want to be linked to that, that's for sure. I enjoyed enjoyed it very much, and I hope they don't try to connect me to that, and I won't be able to do it again, that's for sure.
Listen, I thought you did a phenomenal job, and
yes,
it had been a while. No offense to Rex Chapman, it had been a while since I'd listened to the pregame shows, but I wanted to listen to you, and the way you broke down games and teams and players, I honestly, Jack, I thought you did a phenomenal job, and I hope you're going to be doing this for a long time.
Thanks so much. I mean, I love being around the game. I love opportunity to talk about it. I try to see things that most people might not see when it comes to breaking down games and players and trying to kind of figure out the good or bad. And I'm definitely not always right, that's for sure, but I try to kind of give a little bit different view as opposed to just telling what people see. And, of course, I have been around the game a long time. I've done a lot of broadcasting. I've had to do color analysts for, 30, 40 years. I don't know. I've done it a lot. So it was really fun to be back involved, and I hope to have an opportunity to do that a little bit more because I really enjoy it.
Let's talk about the documentary that came out a couple of nights ago on the SEC Storied about the 1978 championship game. Did you, because you know you narrated the program, had you seen it before the other night, and what did you think about the finished product?
Well, I saw it a couple of days before, actually, Monday. I didn't get a chance to see it during the making of it. I was able to participate in the narration of it, just kind of a lucky thing, actually. I mean, I was in constant contact with the producers of the show just from the beginning. I mean, when they called me probably, I don't know, a year and a half ago, it was pre-COVID, and asked if I thought the guys would be interested in it. I said, man, how in the world did you come up with trying to do something about a bunch of old men from when basketball was back in the good old days, you know? And
That's right.
It was interesting. The producers said, hey, we took some ideas into ESPN. They said the only thing ESPN was interested in or wanted was a Kentucky basketball story, and we were the Kentucky basketball story that these guys pitched to them. And ESPN said, absolutely, let's do it. So So I'm, since I was kind of the guy they called first, and do you think the guys would be interested in doing it and putting everything together, when they got, when they were pretty much finished, they called me and asked me, if I would like to just read some lines, kind of some placeholders until they hire a professional narrator to do that.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it was really, you know, just, yeah, man, I'll do whatever needs to be done to get this out. Just don't drop it, because I think it'd be a good story. And so I read these lines, probably 30 lines during the course of, you know, lo and behold, they come back to me and says, well, we took it into ESPN. The only thing they want to change is they want us to have you, kind of tell the story as you are. So,
I love that. That's a great story right there. Let me ask you this, Jack. When somebody asks you about that 1978 team, what are some of the first thoughts that come to mind when you look back and reflect on that team and that season?
Well, and they asked me the same thing, and I said, well, you know, it's going to be hard to tell the story of the 1978 team if we don't at least go back to my freshman year and the opportunity we had, the seniors on our 78 team, the opportunity we had to ride the backs of a bunch of seniors, Greavy and Guyad and Bob and Mike Flynn, Jimmy Dan, Jerry Hale, you know, all of those guys, we kind of rode their backs and how to play from those guys and that experience. But I said, you can't really tell about the seniors unless you go back to that, at least that first year, because that was so important. And what they came from there is, well, let's talk through all 4 years there, because each year was something different. I mean, we won the NIT my sophomore year. That kind of gave us a feel of what it's like, the difference between finishing second as a freshman and then winning a national tournament. So they decided to walk through all of the years, and that's the only way to really tell the story. And actually, they went back before that, as you know, because they wanted to talk Kentucky basketball and the fact that we were on the cutting edge of a lot of things for Kentucky basketball. Coach Hall was kind of new. African-American players coming in the program was kind of new. So they wanted to tie all of that in, and it became what I saw, the final product. When I saw it, I thought, man, this is even I enjoyed this, and I kind of knew a little bit about what was coming, you know.
So exactly.
I thought it would be good for the BBN, and it tells the story. I was really, really pleased to be able to tell the story to the kids, the young members of the Big Blue Nation, because they didn't know anything about us, and it gives them a look at what it was like back in the old days, you know?
Absolutely, back in the old days. You know what? That's the thing about you, Jack. You haven't aged, I'm going to say, probably in the last 30, 35 years at the very least. I mean, you put me to shame.
Oh, man.
And yet you're older than me. So let's talk about that. Yes, you do. Did you talk to Coach Hall by chance after, or do you know if he got to watch it, and did you get a chance to speak to him about it?
You know, the first call I got, believe it or not, the first call I got afterwards, well, not the first call, but one of the first three calls I got was from Coach Hall. And you could tell in the story that Coach Hall is not doing great, you know.
Yeah.
But he called me up, man, and I tell you, he was as complimentary, and he was like a proud dad. You know, when we see our kids do something, and we want to just pat him on the back, and we want to let him know we love him. And, you know, he called me probably a week before the show came on. And he said, Jack, I want you to come over here and watch that show with me and the member and some of the other folks here at the facility he's in. And
right.
I said, Coach, I will be there if they let me in. If they, if the people there say, if they say it's okay, I'm on my way.
Yes.
And unfortunately, they would not allow me to come in, and I certainly understand that. And
sure,
even though I've had both, even though I've had both shots, it was just too much of a risk to come in. But Coach Hall called me, and he was just thrilled. And Jack, please keep up doing what you're doing. I'm so proud of you. Just everything you would say about your own kid, he said to me that night.
Well, I'm sure those are the special teams to him, and for the most part, there is a fatherly figure in him, even though he's not your dad, and probably a child. You're more like a child to him because those were special times that y'all experienced together, and you're forever going to have that type of a bond, I assume, is what you feel for each other. Is that fair to say?
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt. I mean, the players do. We feel like brothers. We've been to the battle together so many times. We've faced all kind of controversy and all kind of adversaries and everything you can go through, we went through together. Now, just like, a dad sometimes disciplines his kid and the kid doesn't like his dad much at that time, we all had that feeling towards Coach Hall, believe me, because he was not at times the easiest guy to play for. But there is a respect that you get from going through all the stuff we went through together. And, oh, without question, I think of Coach Hall as a dad, a father figure, and I can't tell you how much I've learned from the guy over the years, a lot since I finished playing with him, actually. So I was so proud when he called me and said the things he said. I mean, it was he complimented me for probably 7 minutes straight without me even getting a word in. I brought tears to my eyes. He was so proud, and I just sat there and let him have his way because he obviously wanted to say the things he said that night, Monday night after the show.
Yeah, well, Jack, we got to take a break. And I tell you what, when Shannon's out on one of his mini vacations, we're going to have you come back, and we'll do an entire show and talk about it. Because I tell you what, you've got so many great stories, and I love hearing your stories. And I want people, because I've been lucky enough to hang out with you, I want people to hear a lot of the stories that you have to tell. You would agree to something like that, wouldn't you? I'm putting you on the spot, I know.
Oh, absolutely.
We can do that, can't we? Okay, good.
Absolutely, right. Man, absolutely. And not necessarily while Shannon's gone, because I love Shannon, and he's my buddy. And
oh, my God.
See, exactly. Thank you, Jack. Thank you. See, he's trying to make sure that I'm gone.
I mean, and I don't think I'm capable of filling his shoes, but I'd be happy to do that, Michael, no doubt.
All right, then. Yeah, I would love to hear all the genre that we would listen to. Probably a lot of stuff I would like if Jack Givens started picking all the music out that Shannon does. So, Jack, congratulations on the documentary. You did a phenomenal job narrating it. And man, I appreciate you coming on for a few minutes with us this morning.
Thanks, man. And looking forward to golf soon, man. Don't forget about me now.
Yeah, we'll, I promise you, but I don't know if we're inviting Mike Pratt. I mean, we couldn't get a word in because Mike Pratt dominated the entire conversation.
That's how I feel every time you bring a guest on, Michael. I don't even get to ask one question.
All right. Jack, take care, my friend.
Hey,
we'll
guys.
See you soon, okay?
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jack.
Appreciate it.
We're going to take our last break, but I promise I'll
I was going to ask him
stuff.
A question, babe. You know, hey, I can't get a word in edgewise. That's all right. I wanted to ask
you
about.
You didn't want.
I wanted to ask him about how it would have felt. You know, you're coming back from winning the national championship, and you got all those people there, 10,000 people who lined up for miles to come, you know, congratulate you. But it's okay. Maybe I'll ask him another time.
Okay. All right. We'll have him on where you and I are together, and we can have him on. You can ask just as many or more questions. Okay.
You know, it's the Michael Bennett show. All of a sudden, whenever we get a guest on here, Shannon, the dude's not even a part of the show anymore. Sit back. I got this one.
All right, we're going to take our last break. When we come back, we got to talk about Rick Pitino, and this is the craziest cat meow I've ever heard in my life. We're going to talk about those two things. We'll be right back. This is Just the Cats.
Now back to Just the Cats on Talk Radio 1080.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful day. Nice little choice there for St. Patrick's Day. Of course, their Bono is from Ireland. Well, the entire band's from Ireland, aren't they?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I bet they don't have anything to worry about, and they don't have any aches or pains. But, Janin, you and I suffer through a lot of things, especially 1 hour a day.
I'm pretty sure that cornbread hemp would ship to Ireland, don't you think?
Absolutely, they would.
I mean, Bono and the boys would just need to go to cornbreadhemp.com. Talking about USDA-certified organic CBD oil. Helps with pain, anxiety, and sleep. And this is a family-owned, co-founded business by two cousins in Louisville. They source 100% of their hemp from a single organic family farm in central Kentucky. Go there right now to cornbreadhemp.com. Use the promo code CATS and save 25% off your first order. And it's also available on Amazon Prime. You can have it delivered in just 2 days, Michael.
2 days. Yeah, use that promo code CATS, C-A-T-S. That helps us a lot as far as letting them know people are listening to the show and utilizing the products that we advertise. And it is a great product, I'm going to tell you right now. Let's talk about Rick Pitino real quick, Shannon the Dude. Rick Pitino said yesterday, of course, a lot of people have been talking about it, maybe he's a possibility for the IU job. He said yesterday, I'm not going anywhere. If anywhere, it's retirement.
Yeah, right. We've heard that before.
Here's the best part. You could have come to me with the greatest job on earth, and I would not consider it.
We heard that before. I'm not going anywhere, Boston Celtics. Hey, I got $70 million over here. Yeah, all right, goodbye. Exactly. See you, Kentucky.
Here's what I think happened. I think that his agent was probably the first person to call IU. Well, Rick Pitino would love to consider coming there.
Yeah.
And IU totally slammed him and said, no, we're not interested in Rick Pitino. And this is a way for Rick Pitino said, well, you know, everybody's talking about me. I'm very happy at Iona. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Who is going to believe that he would stay at Iona and not go to Indiana?
Not me. We got a couple of phone calls, Michael. Let's get to them before we get rid of the show here. Let's go to Taylor.
Taylor, what's going on?
How you doing, guys?
Doing great. Thank you.
Great job with the Jack Givens interview.
Oh, thank you.
Real quick, I really enjoyed your humorous story about your engagement, which, oddly enough, is my 48th wedding anniversary today.
Congratulations!
I've been married longer than you two guys are old.
Well, one of us at least.
Well, I'll stop it now. But go ahead, Taylor.
One other thing, real quick, how nice a guy Joe Hall is. I took my son when he was like 4 years old to an open practice at Notre Dame. Michael, you may remember these.
Yes, I do.
We were walking around the corridor to go to the restroom. Joe Hall was in the hallway by himself walking around, came up and talked to us, and asked my son if he wanted to play at UK one day. And I always, that's 46 years ago, and I always remember that story, what a nice guy he was for doing that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. I appreciate the call, Taylor. We got to get going. We got to take one more phone call real quick. We got about 30 seconds. I'm sorry it's so short of time, but who's up next?
Go ahead, Tim.
Tim, what's going on?
Guys, I just want to say great job today with the Jack Givens interview.
Thank you. That's
why I listen to this show. It's a good show. Although I have to say that you ought to think about renaming it Just a Cats with Shannon the Dude. I think you would get more listeners to hit that. I'm just joking, Michael. You do a fabulous job. Got nothing but praises for you guys. And I'll try to hit you guys up on Friday. I'm going to be out of town tomorrow, so I won't be able to catch the show tomorrow. So
hopefully
we'll see you Friday.
Thanks, Tim.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for the phone call, Tim. All right, so how much time do we have now?
20 seconds.
Okay, forget it. We're going to play it tomorrow.
You want to play it right now?
No, I don't want to play it right now. I want to play this tomorrow where we can talk
about it.
You built
this up. This better be really good.
I know.
You built this up for an entire day. This cat that says hello.
It's going to be terrible. I know. Don't say, but we'll play it tomorrow, okay? All right. Everybody have a great day. Shannon, I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks, everybody.
All right.
See you just again.